Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Michael Glasser joins us right now, president of Pano. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
How you?
Very well, thank you.
Good. So let's talk about the events as they unfolded on Sunday night. Initially, it seemed as though, or at least the story was, what people were presuming is that they went to this busy intersection, drew guns on a guy, and then from there, a shootout occurred. And those are not the facts at all, are they?
Well, I don't have every detail on that. I haven't been privy to everything. And you made a good analogy earlier. You know, when we have to make decisions sometimes as to whether or not we're going to chase someone, we have to weigh the value of apprehending someone versus the danger it might present if the individual tries to flee. It's a very busy intersection, a lot of pedestrians, that sort of thing. And this is a lot different. When somebody turns and points a gun or starts shooting, we have to make some decisions. And we have an obligation to protect the public. We have an obligation to protect ourselves. And you have to make some decisions. And those officers had to make those decisions in a quick moment. And I think they did what they were supposed to do.
News reports I'm seeing are that they tried originally to, I hate to say confront because that's got a pejorative term, but enforce the law with him in front of an empty storefront on Canal Street. And it was the perp, it was him that decided to run toward, first off, start shooting. And I think that got lost in a lot of this, that it was the perp that pulled out the gun, not the police. He's the one that started all of this and set it into motion, and he was the one that ran toward the crowded bus stop. So that being said, I always say, Michael, that police officers have to be careful, and citizens have to be careful, because once a police officer gives you that order, whatever order it is, he's got or she's got to enforce it. You can't back down. You can't say no. That's why, from the public standpoint, they have to realize that. And from the police officer's standpoint, they have to realize that before they give the command, right?
Well, exactly. You know, we try to pick and choose the best place possible. Sometimes we don't have the ability to make that choice. You know, we work in an urban environment, which means that every place has some risk to it. Bullets travel far. They go through wooden houses. They go through vehicles. Unless we stop somebody in an open field or a swamp, there's always the potential for that to happen. Always. Certainly on a crowded street, that may be a problem. But then again, you can't predict that everyone you stop is going to suddenly turn and fire. That's an unusual situation. That doesn't happen daily. It doesn't happen weekly. It doesn't even happen monthly. It happens on occasion. And you can't always predict when that's going to happen. And you know, do we let him get on a bus? Was he going to a bus? Would you let him get on a crowded bus with a weapon? Suppose he sees the police following the bus and decides to take hostages. You can play this out over and over again. Bottom line is they try to take him in a safe way, and it turned ugly, and the fault rests with the perpetrator. That's just the way it happens, and the police responded in the best way they could in an opportunity to end the threat to the public and to themselves as quickly as possible.
It almost sounds cliche, Michael, but to me, it seems as though this guy was a bad, bad guy. It was almost like some kind of film, movie from the 40s where he was a dead-on gangster and he was determined to go out in gunfire if that's the way it played out.
Well, clearly, it wasn't just the officers. Obviously, he didn't care who he had to shoot. And even if the officers didn't fire back, who knows how many people he had shot just trying to make good his escape. If he'll shoot at the police, he'll certainly wouldn't hesitate to shoot a citizen. So how many hostages would he have taken on that bus? How many people would he have grabbed, or if he ran inside a busy store full of people? So the officers really had no choice but to try to end that threat as quickly as possible, and they did that.
And I guess, Michael, what I was getting at with the order before, when a police officer gives you an order, you got to follow that, and that goes along with when somebody shoots at the police, they have to return fire. You can't expect them to get back in their car and say, all right, sorry, you're having a bad day. We'll come back on another day when you're in a better mood.
Well, then you have to consider, too, what options do the officers have? And these are the logistics that I can't really tell you from this position. But, you know, did they have an opportunity to take cover themselves? Were they in the open? Did they have any real option in terms of saving themselves and saving citizens? Do they really have another option? And you have to make that decision in about a second. You don't have a lot of time to weigh it, take a look around, and think about it. You have to respond and respond quickly, or the next bullet is in you or in someone else. So it's a quick decision to be made, and that's what we get paid to do, is we get paid to do these things and take the risks, and they did that at great risk to themselves as well. And I think they should be commended for the action they took.
If any of the bullets that hit the citizens are found to be police bullets, and we do not know that yet at all, for people that would be critical of that, I guess maybe it goes to police training, A, and B, it goes to what a real gunfight is like, and how for people that stand on the range and shoot at the paper target, they don't realize that it's not the same thing.
No, it is not. And trust me when I say it, it's not as easy as it looks. And television and movies makes it look a lot easier than it really is. And paper doesn't shoot back. So you can practice all day long, every day. It's not the same as when someone's shooting back at you. It's an entirely different experience. And there's a lot of physiology that goes into it, adrenaline, a lot of things go into it. Cops are always worried also about their own safety, or worried about the public safety, the liability. They're aware of it. That factors in. And they got just a split second to make a decision and respond. And, you know, sometimes these things happen. They're unfortunate, but we try to limit those things as much as possible through training, but it's not impossible.
Quickly, when somebody gets pulled over by a police officer and for whatever reason they think that they shouldn't have been pulled over, or they think the police officer was a little too careful, what would you tell the public in terms of understanding the side behind the badge?
You know, one of the nice things about the cameras that we now currently have with, you know, vehicle cameras and body cameras is the public gets to see sometimes what police officers face. It only takes a moment for things to go badly, and very frequently they don't go badly instantly. It's one of those things where people will sometimes weigh their options, and if they think they can get away with it, they'll turn around and do it. And the police have to be aware of that. They have to watch every moment. Because a lot of these things, they start out okay, then suddenly it turns badly. And you never know when that's going to be. You can't predict that.
God bless you, Michael. I appreciate the job y'all do, and I wouldn't have the job. I'm going to tell you what, and I admire y'all for doing it. Thank you. Have a great day, all right?
You too. Thank you much.
Hi, Michael Glasser, president of Pano. Your calls when we come back right now. Traffic, WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.